Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And if you thought the Sunday nights or Sunday afternoons couldn't get any better, what an absolute stormer the Premier League has cooked up again for us this afternoon. We thought Spurs and Chelsea was good. City and Newcastle United was so good this afternoon, wasn't it?
To be fair, all the games weekend, though, have been really, really good watches.
I feel like all the teams are starting to get there, find their feet, and we're seeing some rhythm now.
3 o'clock on Saturday were good as well, like loads of goals. Like, it's been a good weekend to watch matches, hasn't it? Like, enjoyable games, not necessarily enjoyable FPL returns.
Well, it's been a mixed week, to say the least, hasn't it? A mixed week. But we're going to review all of that. We'll talk about the games that we've just had this weekend. We'll be talking about game week 4 coming up as well, because that's going to come around quickly. We'll do what we usually do, our teams, our overall ranks, for what it's worth at this stage of the season. And by the way, I say that, you know, that's absolutely true, right? We are 3 game weeks in. If your overall rank isn't where you want it to be, it makes absolutely no difference, right? You've got to wait until game week sort of 9-10, I think, for it to even matter. But one of the things we are seeing a lot of, a quick comment on this, is the price rises. I think we spoke about it briefly last Sunday. There's a lot of knees jerking on a Sunday night at the moment, isn't there? Even without Liverpool Man United, which is still to come tomorrow night, we're seeing a lot of transfers in for a lot of players. I think you, just as we were coming on, you said a lot of people got rid of Harry Kane.
Second most transfer.
I just don't get it.
I don't understand. I mean,
it's bonkers, isn't it?
Where are they going? Because if he's the second most transfer out already, where are they going? I mean, he scored in back-to-back matches. So
What more do you want from him?
What else can he do? You know, like, where are they taking money out? Are they putting it somewhere else? Are they going to Haaland? Maybe, but Haaland's only just returned and he didn't return last.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm baffled.
Well, I hope that we're starting to see, and I saw a tweet from FPL Greyhead earlier today, which I retweeted, starting to see, I hope, a little bit of a shake-up of the template. I mean, you and I have got different views a little bit on whether FPL has got a bit of a template this season, but I definitely think it has. There's a core of players that everyone's got, absolutely everyone, to the point where I was sitting there with Jesus watching that Arsenal game, and he got the assist. I was like, oh, God. He's one of my players. Yeah, I'm like, damn it. Because he's like 140% EO. It's just not.
No,
it's just not FPL, is it?
But Jesus is an exception to the rule, isn't he? I think that.
There's a few that are over 100%.
No, he's an exception to the rule because he's the most heavily owned FPL asset ever. He's owned by 80.7%.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's ridiculous. And it's because he was priced as a Man City forward at 8 million. And at that point, he then wasn't a first choice. He wasn't going to play every week, so you weren't really going to invest, which is why he's 8 million. Had he moved to Arsenal already, when the price points were set, he'd have been at least 9, 9.5, maybe even 10.
Yeah.
And at that point, he's owned by 50% of the game.
What's good, though, is I think we're starting to see the Tonys, the Rodrigos, the Gundogans, the... Who else in that forward line? Who else have we got? Mitrovic, potentially. There's a few that are starting to come to the fore and starting to disrupt that template. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it because it needs a bit of a shake-up, I think, FPL. I did a couple of transfers this game week, which I'll talk about a bit later on. One which went terribly, but one which went really well. And I have to say, I put most of my thought this week into the one that went terribly. My second transfer I made, with my second free transfer that I had, I made 2 frees this week coming into game week 3. And I did it because I just felt like, I looked at my team, I was like, that's boring, same team as everybody else. So I bought another defender in that not quite so many people had, and I was just like, well, it makes it a little bit interesting. I don't know, I'm not getting bored of FPL, don't get me wrong. I just think this template needs a shake up, but I feel like we're getting it. I feel like we're starting to get it. You're not fit. You don't agree, do you?
I totally disagree with you.
Just don't agree.
I think you're absolutely mental.
All right. Well, let's get on and say hello to a few other mental people. Geeta,
no,
and Ryan, how are we doing?
One.
There's a lot of you saying wildcard, right? So Geeta's in the chat. He or she, I think it's he, is saying wildcard. Time for wildcard. I personally don't think it is, because if I look at my team right now, my bus team for next week, and we're going to talk about my bus team, your bus team later on in the live stream. If I look at the sort of fixtures that those players have got, they look pretty good. I'm not sure I want a wild card. If I was to wild card this week, I know I'd get rid of a lot of points from someone. I'm absolutely convinced that I would. So I'm not sure, Geeta, that it is time to wild card, but a lot of people think differently. Just before we say hello to the rest of people, wild card, yes or no? Is it another one of those sit on the fence, it depends on your team, is it right time for you, the usual sort of standard answer?
I c- could see a wild card this week.
Could you?
Yeah.
For game week four.
Yeah. I could see it. Because I think that there are enough premiums not performing and enough mid-price players performing that it you could... Like, I mean, I look at my defenders and I think, why the hell have I bought in Reece James? Why did I take a -4 for Reece James? Like, and I still don't really know why... I'll tell you why I did it. Absolute blind fear.
Fear of AR again.
Fear.
Yeah.
Because, and I looked at him and I didn't even want him when I said this to you when we were on holiday. I said to you, I don't even want him. He's not going to keep a clean sheet against Leeds. I might as well just go Cucurella and save $1 million. And yet somehow I've still got Reece James in my team. Wow. And I'm sitting here thinking, I don't really want to be heavily invested at the back. I'd rather invest up top. I'd rather invest in Tony. I'd rather move money around. And so from that
Tony's one, you had him in your game week one team for a long time. You called him all summer and I you never did it.
Well, not only because I moved him out for Jesus when Jesus got that. Yeah, so I had no choice.
Yeah. Oh, there's a cat running. Get out of here, cat.
What the hell?
What was the cat? Just knocked over your drinks bottle, didn't he?
Was it the cat?
We need to start closing the door again. I know it gets a bit hot in here.
No, I can't. It gets too hot. I think I've got menopause or something. I'm so hot.
I'm not having a cat in here wrecking the studio every time we come on for a live stream.
It's so hot. This country. Oh, I feel like I've moved to, like, I don't know, somewhere close to the equator.
Well, Joe Thurgood. Thank you, Joe. He says, hi, Lee and Sam. Hope you had a nice holiday. We did. Thank you, mate. We had a lovely holiday. It wasn't particularly cool out in Denmark either, was it? It was still pretty warm out there as well, but not as hot, I think, as the UK is continuing to have it, right?
We missed all the rain that was in the UK, didn't we?
There was a bit.
But anyway, while we were away, I was banging on about various players. And Rodrigo, I feel like I've now been banging on about for about 3 weeks. Tony, the same.
You need to start going with your... But what I'm saying is,
often they involve selling a premium. They involve getting rid of a player that I... So I was a bit annoyed with myself this week because I got the fear of... When I was getting rid of Rashford, I got the fear of Martinelli and I really wanted to go Rodrigo. That was the transfer I wanted to make. And yet somehow I was like, Martinelli.
Yeah, yeah. You got swayed by the general FPL public.
No, I got swayed by you.
Okay, well, Martinelli's not a bad pick, by the way.
No, I'm not saying he is, but I think the point I'm trying to make here is that I think there are a number of players. So for me, tomorrow night...
By the way, we've been doing this 6 years. You still getting swayed by me?
No, I never get swayed by you, which is why I'm a bit worried about myself. But I think if tomorrow night Luis Diaz blank, honestly, I can see myself getting off of some of my premium assets and moving around the way that I'm playing the game. I would actually...
Oof, a few knees jerking this evening. I can feel it in the FPL community. It's a bad game week. There's a lot of knees jerking. I can feel it.
I'm not going to do anything
just yet. Keep the faith, guys.
I mean, don't think you can do anything until the final game. What happens if something bad happens? Touch wood, it won't. But, you know, what happens if Salah does a ACL or something tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. Don't even go there. We've had a...
But then there's big changes. And then suddenly the whole community's wildcarding, aren't they?
True. Yes, true.
Wait the game week out.
Thank you, Cy, for the super chat. Cy Burdett is in this evening. The midfield master, Jack Colback, as we all know, is the absolute midfield master. He super chatted. Thank you, Cy. A very generous super chat. Tough week, he says. Tough week, but not just for me. I would agree with that, mate. I think it's been a difficult week all round. If you're big at the back, and most are, to some extent...
Well, there was barely any clean sheets.
There was nothing going on. And the defenders didn't attack either, did they? Unless you've got Mr. Perisic. I'd like to send best wishes to Duncan and his partner at this time. Thoughts are with you. Yes, absolutely. We saw in the Slack earlier, didn't we, about... So Duncan's had a bit of a... Duncan, who's one of our other Patreon supporters, we know that Duncan had a bit of a bereavement in his family. So Duncan, yes, we're with you, mate, and hope that you and your partner are okay. So yeah, thank you, Si, for sending the super chat. To be honest, that's absolutely typical of the community that we have in Slack, quite frankly. Everybody just supports each other. Yes, we have a load of batshit talk about for FPL, don't we?
I shouldn't swear.
We have loads of banter about FPL, but we also have this caring community where everybody actually cares about each other.
It's the thing that I really genuinely love about the Slack is that people just genuinely care about other people's emotions and feelings. And Si had a bereavement in his family last week as well. So it's one of those times where it's really lovely that everyone can kind of feel it's a safe space to come in and go, this has happened in my life and I need someone to talk to about it. And the rest of the community go, let's have a metaphorical group hug.
Yeah, it's not all about FPL points and who's blanked and all the rest of it, right? There's a lot more to it than that. Scott Schrager is in as well, says, best wishes, Duncan. Hey, Scott, how are we doing, mate? Nice to see you in. B is in. Hey, B. Good evening. Got to be happy with the Spurs performance, as I'm sure you are. Grinding out a one. This is very unlike Spurs. Bellerin likes Spurs. Bit last minute, get a goal against Chelsea. 1-0, grind out a win. Not playing particularly well yet, but still 7 points in the bag. This is a new, this new Spurs, this new gritty, I don't know, just win at all costs Spurs. I like it. I'll be honest. I'm impressed.
I've got a lot of time for it.
I think B has got a lot of time
for
it.
I've got a lot of time for it. I tell you something, me and Antonio Conte, we are, I love that man. I never thought in my lifetime I'd love another manager as quite as much as I love Pochettino, but this one, he takes the biscuit.
He's doing all right so far. FPL Harry is in. How are we doing, Harry? He says, evening all. I'm out for holiday. Dinner.
He's so on holiday.
Harry, you're on holiday.
Harry, go on holiday.
You are excused. And to be honest, we might even start with Chelsea, mate. So you might want to get out for that dinner.
Harry, go on. Off you go. Enjoy your holiday.
As quickly as possible.
I'll see you Tuesday for off the bench.
Hey, now listen. Yes, you and so FPL Harry is on his first ever official FPL podcast. He's on off the bench with you this week. Who's buzzing more, him or you? I bet he's quite excited. Are you quite excited? I bet you are. Yeah, I bet you are.
Me,
bet...
I'm really excited. I cannot wait.
Harry's buzzing though, and I bet he is.
Harry's taken his whole equipment on holiday with him, like I did last week.
Has he had a good FPL week, Harry? I hope
no. We're both having an absolute shocker. Chelsea have lost. And
off the bench this week, Sam and Harry have both had a shocker. Thanks very much.
Yeah, but that is life, isn't it?
That's
FPL life.
That's how it works.
This is an actual reflection of a typical FPL conversation. We've all had a shocker.
Correct.
What do we do now?
B is just in saying yes, Spurs all day long, and then Torben comes in with a boring Spurs. It's just
no, hang on. We can't have boring Spurs chat already.
S Bam is in. Hey, S Bam, he or she says had Trippier on the bench. Listen, you won't be the only one. You will not be the only one that had Trippier on the bench.
I had Bailey on there with him as well.
What a free kick that was, by the way. So good. Let's see, Vinit Shetty is in. Hey, Vinit. Neto to Rodrigo transfer now before another price rise. Yes, as we said at the beginning of the show, guys.
This is why.
Look out for these price rises. I know most of you that are here watching tonight will be aware of Fantasy Football Fix and FPL Statistics and all those other price prediction algorithm websites or apps. It's a good time to get familiar with one or two of them because it is silly season and will be for a few more weeks yet, when the likes of Rodrigo and Harrison and so Leeds, for example, brilliant today against Chelsea, brilliant. And we'll talk about them more, in particular Aronson, who I thought was a live wire today. Absolutely brilliant, the young American. But that means that we get a very, very volatile price market, player price market in FPL, and we get players going up and down in price, left, right and centre. So if you can get hold of one of those apps, if you can start to get ahead of some of those price rises and you desperately want Rodrigo in for this week and you know that you want him and you're not going to want him or anybody else down the line, and it's a risk because you're doing it ahead of Monday night. We have not had Liverpool versus Man United yet. Or United,
you could always wildcard though if the worst happened.
You could if you've still got the wildcard in hand. Yes, you could.
The other thing to say, while we're just talking about it, the Fix app is free. So you don't need to pay to be a member in order to have the app to check price rises. So if you do want to go down the Fix route, you don't need to be paid.
Very good. Nathan Smith is in. Hey, Nathan. He says Mitrovic in. We're going to talk about him later on. He's had a very, very good start to the season. But the fixtures start to turn a little bit for Fulham. And they're coming up against some pretty stingy defences going forward. So might have just missed the old Mitro wagon, but he absolutely bossed it again at the weekend. Looked very, very good. Sam, let's get into
some of these games.
What's up with your hair?
I don't know. It's not right. Look at it.
What?
I keep spotting it in the camera and thinking it's got some weird kink in it. What's going on?
It looks lovely, dear. Don't worry about it.
It's got to be
lovely.
I tell you what,
get in the chat and say, Sam, your hair looks lovely.
Guys, don't lie. It doesn't. It's got horrible. What's going on here? And also,
is it the humidity? Is it the air? Is it the how warm the air is?
I think I've had it tucked behind my ear for too long today. And also, it's gone so greyly. I've got to go to the hairdresser as soon as these kids go back to school.
Wow. First world problems here at FPL Family. Let's get on to the games. Yeah. And let's talk about... I need to get to the right window. Here we go. What do we want to talk about first? I'd like to talk about, and I know you're not going to like this, but let's go straight to Bournemouth nil Arsenal 3. Another routine, professional, frankly at times, free-flowing and very, very impressive Arsenal win. And let's start with Jesus, because if you captained Jesus this week, you're bang unlucky, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're bang unlucky, because he was offside by an absolute gnat's whisker, wasn't he? It was like a toenail offside on that one that he tucked away. Again, looked lively, passed the eye test, etc, etc. We don't need to wax lyrical about him, because I'm pretty sure, well, law of averages says at least 80% of the live stream have got him. So it's not a case of transferring him in. What else, though? What else? And in particular, I'm interested in this Arsenal defence, because, by the way, It wasn't as if Bournemouth had a low XG in this game. They did, you know, Rams had had to make a couple of saves. Bournemouth had a couple of chances, particularly in the second half when they started pushing a little bit. And of course, they did concede two to Leicester last week. But nevertheless, a clean sheet. Saliba's looking cheap. Zinchenko is a little bit more expensive on the other side of five.
Well. But,
listen, I don't think, from what I know of Saliba, he's going to score goals like that every week. But what a well-taken goal that was.
He was great.
And have you heard the tequila chant? Have you heard this?
Yes.
Very good, isn't it? But, very good. I like this.
Do you know what?
Just sorry to cut across you. I will let you talk in a minute. But as usual on these live streams, I'm cutting across you every 5 minutes. Just starting to get a feel that there's a good vibe in this Arsenal camp. Starting to get a good feel that they've got something. They've got a bit of je ne sais quoi about them.
But
Arsenal.
It's interesting because we've been watching. We just finished watching
the All or Nothing,
yeah. documentary.
Very good it was too.
It was very good. But we spent. I mean, I particularly enjoyed the last couple of episodes. I'm not going to lie. But
oh, what when you beat them?
When we beat them, I absolutely loved it. I was looking for me in the crowd just in case you could see me going mental with Az. But I must admit, a few of the times we've watched it and we've sat there and we've gone, why is the dressing room so quiet? Why is nobody saying anything? Why isn't there any leaders in there? And then I watch Martin Ødegaard and I think, hang on a minute, they've got a proper leader now.
Watched him on the documentary or on the pitch?
On the pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
So last season, I think they're big characters in there, in Aubameyang before he left and in Lacazette. But I didn't feel like they had any real passionate leaders.
Yeah.
Whereas with Martin Ødegaard, when you watch him playing right now,
yeah.
and kind of imagining what's going on behind the scenes in the dressing room, I feel like they've got players that, and Jesus, genuinely want to be there, are quality and are finishing their dinners now. So if you're Saka, if you're Martinelli, if you're one of those creative midfield players, you're going to be loving life because suddenly you've got a proper number nine who's scoring goals and doing all the right things.
Well, you say that, but try telling that to the Saka owners in FPL. If you were a Saka owner in FPL, what would you do now?
It's a difficult one, isn't it? You sell. No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is difficult, actually. I think it's very easy. And I said this on my Insta reaction yesterday. I think if you are a Saka owner, it's very, very easy. You sell him.
To move sideways to another Arsenal player and save some cash?
Yes. Because
Martinelli?
Ødegaard, Martinelli. Martinelli is the obvious pick because over the last three game weeks, he's been in the better form.
Yeah.
In terms of FPL returns. But I think Ødegaard is a really nice alternative. He's a bit different. He looked brilliant, I must say, against Bournemouth. I thought he was really impressive, pulling a lot of strings.
Like you say, very commanding. I mean, on the second goal, I think it was his first goal, the ball comes across, I think, from maybe Ben White. And Jesus gets a touch and Jesus is about to unleash it in the goal. And you can see Ødegaard just take charge of that situation. Now, Jesus might be cursing him for taking a potential goal off of him. But the way that he just was just like, you know, leave it. You could hear the shout, bang, top corner. There was something about the Ødegaard performance, I agree, that really impressed me. But I have to agree with you. I still think Martinelli is a gift for us in FPL this season. I thought it in game week one and I still believe
it. Well, I think the thing with Arsenal, right, this year is that it's easy to trouble. Like I said this on my Insta stories, if you watched them yesterday in my Insta reactions, it's very easy to treble up on Arsenal. You haven't got the expensive premium option that you need to have. You've got Jesus, who is a gift at the price that he is, and everyone's got him, so you just have him and accept that he's going to hurt you. You know, the only
80%,
way to
make, you can't not have him, can you?
No, you can't. And the only way to make him a differential is if you captain him, and you just accept that, right? And that's fine.
Yeah.
But then you've got other options. And what I love about the Arsenal picks right now in FPL is that you can go Martinelli, you can go Ødegaard. You don't have to go Saka, and I wouldn't advise that you do. Okay. He will come good, but I don't think you need to spend the extra money. I think that's the difference. You can just afford to downgrade him.
Talk to me about
and
the
defence. And then you've got the defence, and you've got options at all price points if you want to. So you can go in at the more premium end and go with Ramsdale and goal if you want, or you can go with Zinchenko if you want, or you can go with the cheaper options. You can go in with the likes of Ben White, you can go in with the likes of Saliba. And it's going to depend on the price point that you have available. Now, in my opinion, right now, the cheaper you can go with those defenders, the better. Because I don't think you need to be spending. Like, I'm looking at my back line thinking, why am I spending 6 million on Reece James? Like, Trent is a bit different. Cancelo is a bit different. Those two, I think, for me anyway, I want to keep. But the rest of them, I'm thinking, I'm going to go in at the 5, 4.5 million bracket, because I can see so much value in the 6 million-ish midfielder bracket with Ødegaard, with Martinelli, with Rodrigo, right, that I think you can save budget on those defenders this year and you can spend a bit more up top and in midfield.
Let's just have a quick look at Arsenal's fixtures before I ask you about a bit of a, I would say, probably a player that I wouldn't necessarily bring in unless I was wildcard, and then I would think about it. Arsenal's fixtures continue to be good. It's Fulham at home and then Villa at home, so neither of those are going to hold much fear, I don't think, for Arteta's boys. And certainly we're going to be looking at, I think, you know, potentially Jesus as a bit more than just a player, maybe captaining him. Then it's United away, which according to the Fantasy Football Scout ticker, isn't a blue fixture. Let's see what sort of Manchester United are in come game week six. But at the minute, going away to Old Trafford does not feel like a sort of semi-red fixture, as it's suggested on the ticker here. Then it's Everton at home, then it's Brentford away. And Brentford away, I would suggest, is probably the hardest of those games. So the next four for Arsenal, for Jesus, for Martinelli, for Saka, for Anko, looks so good. And I, for one, I'm absolutely considering the treble up. I really am. Talk to me about Granit Xhaka. How has his role changed this season? Because he's already on, I think, 3 assists this season,
mm-hmm,
which is that's as many as he got last season,
mm,
and we're on game week 3. Is his role in this Arsenal team changing a little bit, and is he an option for us in FPL?
Xhaka. I mean, you feel
I
like...
I don't think it's as crazy as you make it sound.
I just feel like with Xhaka, I'm 5 minutes away from a red card. I don't think it's crazy. I don't think investing in any Arsenal player right now is crazy. I think you can make a case for investing in all of them quite successfully. I think what I would say about Xhaka is, I don't know, I don't love it as a pick, which feels ridiculous, but I think it's a bit of historic.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit of historic bias more than it is anything else.
I think he's a nice pick. I think he's a nice pick, and he's another one of these that's going to shake up the template a little bit, because we're going to be looking for a third forward potentially soon, and that's the title of this live stream, right? We're talking about maybe going the three big ones up top. The year of the striker, I think, is in full swing, and therefore, what is going to have to be the you're going to have to make a sacrifice somewhere. Is it going to be your premium defence? Well, I still think those guys are good despite a bad game week 3, so I think it's going to be the midfield. I think we're still going to go a couple of heavies in midfield, maybe an 8 million. But outside of that, you're going to be shopping around in the Pereiras and the Da Silvas and the Xhakas. I can see it. I can honestly see it. Now, right now, if I was wildcarding this week, I think there's 3 better Arsenal picks, frankly. Jesus, Martinelli, I think are locked for me. And then if you wanted to go an Ødegaard or a Saliba or a Zinchenko, I think he's still a good pick. I think they're all better picks than Xhaka. But he's going to be low ownership. I think he's a nice differential. If you are considering Granit Xhaka on your wildcard, I could totally understand it. Missed a couple of super chats, Sam, just while we were talking there. One from Kens. Hey, Kens, good evening. How are you doing, mate? Evening, guys. What a horrific game week so far. No massive hauls in the template, so to speak. So it's all Mo or all nothing now as a non-Jesus captain. I was lucky.
Mo or nothing.
Yeah, Mo or nothing. So, Kens, I think we would all, mate, agree with you. If you've had a bad week, it's a good week to have a bad week, as they say, to use an FPL cliche. It's a good week to have a bad week. And David James Whiteway, thank you, David, for the super chat. You two are fab, he says. Thank you, David.
Aww.
Missed the FPL show this season. I do as well.
Guys, we really missed the FPL show. Yeah. It was one of the things that we loved doing the most, like going down there, seeing Jules and Kelly at the Jules and James at the beginning, and then Kelly and James last season. Like, we loved doing the FPL show, and we are really sad that it's not there anymore. But
we are. But we have extra podcasts, and we have extra all sorts of stuff going on as well. So there's Arsenal. Nothing else to say other than they look bloody good, and they are flying high, 9 points out of 9, and they've got the fixtures to carry on that 100% record. It would not surprise me.
Northampton Derby is going to be feisty in a couple of weeks.
It would not surprise me. 4 weeks from now, what did we say those fixtures were? Fulham, Villa, United, Everton.
Then is it the Derby?
They get all 3 of them. No, they got Brentford away after that, which is...
And then is it the Derby?
I don't know, maybe.
It's coming up.
It's maybe, but it's in the distance, right? So, those next 4 fixtures for Arsenal, would it surprise you to see a 100% record? Come game week 7 for Arsenal, 21 points out of 21. I can absolutely see it. Absolutely see it.
I think they're playing really well. And, you know, I can't... If the way that they are playing continues to be a thing, then there's no reason why they can't.
Yeah. All right, here we go. B is agreeing with you. She's saying, yeah, Lee, but Xhaka will eventually get sent off. It's standard.
I mean, he will. You know eventually he will, won't he? I mean, he will eventually get sent off. That is what will happen.
Let's talk about the man on the thumbnail then. So Ivan Toney is getting he's going to have a lot of FPL airtime currently on Twitter and in the community. And he's a player that you called out over the summer as one that you think is going to have a good season. And goodness me, you're right. He's having a bloody good season. He's already had a price rise. He's 7.1 now, and he'll shortly be. I'm not surprised. I won't be surprised to see him go up to 7.2. Looked good in this game, despite Fulham putting in a very, very good performance and winning this game 3-2. Brentford looked good. And again, Brentford seemed to be in the habit of giving teams a 2-0 head start. I've got a feeling they did this in game week one as well against... It's Leicester, maybe, I think, wasn't it? But then Fulham... So Fulham had a 2-0 lead. Brentford come back into it. And it were not for Mitrovic scoring basically what is now known as the Mitrovic header, because he scored the exact same goal against Liverpool, didn't he? Completely bosses the back post, goes across the goalkeeper into the other corner. Really good, classic Mitrovic goal to win it 3-2. But difficult to say which team deserves. I say Fulham probably deserved the win, but coming out of it, I think a lot of the FPL community are looking at Brentford's fixtures going forward, which read like this: Everton, Palace, Leeds, Southampton, and Arsenal. So again, in the same four-game bracket here between game weeks 4 and 7, Brentford look pretty good. And Ivan Toney's looking all right with Mbeumo up top. So what are we saying about Ivan Toney, but Brentford in general?
I mean, Ivan Toney, to me, is the one that got away, for sure.
Yeah.
Is
it Ivan or Ivan? It's Ivan.
Well, I was calling him Ivan. I was calling him Ivan Toney.
We get so much stick in the YouTube comments.
Ivan Toney, it's Ivan Toney.
The YouTube comments every week are absolutely packed with me mispronouncing names. It's Jesus Lee, not Jesus. It's Mkhitaryan. Do you remember Mkhitaryan? Used to get that one quite right, didn't we?
Let's just call him Toney. look, he is the player that every week I look at my team and I go, how the hell do I get Sam Greenwood to Ivan Toney?
I've got Archer
week,
and I want Toney.
I look at him and I go, how? The only way to do it is to wildcard, which is why, again, the wildcard conversation comes back around.
Right, because you want Toney.
Because I want Toney. But wildcarding for Toney feels absolutely insane. But this is what I'm talking about.
I don't know if it does.
But this is what I mean about the value picks this season. There's so many great value picks who are all really performing brilliantly. And I'm looking at Toney thinking, I really want you. And this is a really beautiful run of fixtures where I can only see continued goal scoring from him.
FPL Joel is saying in the chat, to be honest, I don't see Toney staying at Brentford. I see a top six club coming in to buy him before the window shuts. What do we think about that?
If that happens...
Seen a couple of reports.
I mean, if Chelsea went in for him...
Listen.
This is just me saying something here, because I don't even know if they've been linked with him. But he is what Chelsea need.
Yeah, but does he need Chelsea?
No, I don't think anybody does at the moment. They don't need the stress.
He's playing so well at Brentford under a really, I think, a top manager in a top club, football club.
I'm going to say something controversial, though.
I don't know.
How happy is Ivan Toney to never play Champions League football?
Yeah, he's young. He's
never
got time.
Play European
he's
football.
Got time. He'll be there one day. He's not going to be at Brentford his whole life, I don't think. But moving in the next week or so to a Chelsea or a somewhere else.
There is always some random move that happens right at the end of the window when some team or other panics. But I look at the top.
Well, there's plenty of that going on.
But I look at the top clubs and think, well, who's going to panic in this last part of the window?
It'll be them with the money. It'll be Newcastle, won't it? Or United seem to be chucking some money around at Casemiro and a few others, don't they? It's like, name your price. United are desperate.
Why would he go to... I don't think he'd go to United over staying at Brentford.
What, rekindle his Ericsson?
He's quite happy. He's quite happy. Ericsson's regretting his life choices. Ericsson wishes he'd stayed at Brentford.
Ericsson must be really... Yeah, especially after last week.
Exactly. I don't think he goes anywhere, but Chelsea maybe, because they've got Champions League football. I could see that. But
yeah.
Look, if regardless of where he plays, I think he's a great option. He's in great form. He's playing really well. But there are other picks at Brentford who I think you could also go to. Like, for me, I'd really like Toney. I don't think I can stretch there. The defence I'm not keen on.
Is in Mbeumo? Worth saving £1 million?
No.
Took his goal against United very well.
No.
No? All right. Not selling you on that.
No.
Okay, fair enough.
If he was a midfielder, I probably would have been persuaded to have gone there. But in the forward bracket. I just think that those three forwards this year, it's such a different world that we live in FPL at the moment, where the forward three feels really... And I've suddenly got Sam Greenwood. And the forward three is so valuable.
Do you know, I don't think Tony's team selected by would be quite so high were it not for the Nunez red card. I think that the Nunez to Tony move
was popular.
Leading up to game week three was a bit of a no-brainer, actually. Yeah. I think I would have done the same, quite frankly. And because of that, Tony now... Not because of that, but, you know, Tony has popped up now with the goal. What's your plan to get... Do you have a plan to get him in? Do you want him in your team?
I can't.
Okay.
The only way I can do it is if I sell Salah.
Oof, wow. Okay, right.
Or I've got to sell a premium. I could sell Reece James.
Okay.
The guy I've just spent minus four on.
Oh, Jesus.
On another minus four.
Come on. You can't just knee-jerk James out like that.
Well, no, I can't.
Have a bit of faith. One of the best attacking fullbacks in the country. God, dear me.
I'm really not a Reece James
fan
right now.
What are we saying about Fulham then? A good win for them, 3-2. That's now a very good start to the season for Fulham Football Club, isn't it? And Mitro seems to be firing on all cylinders.
Yep.
They've got a couple of others that, you know, it's not all about Mitro. The others are chipping in with a goal here or there, right?
Do I want to be doubled up, though, with Pereira and Mitrovic?
Well, do you know
I know that you can, but the fixtures aren't that great that you want to double on Fulham.
He's the best enabler in the game, isn't he, Pereira? He was all over.
He's a cheat
code.
Pereira's a cheat code.
He was good.
He's great. He plays
set
really
pieces,
well. He's attacking his set
high
pieces,
XA.
His corners, everything's great. And he got some
Eight points
returns,
this week.
Picked up 3 bonus points.
Love that.
Everything about Pereira, fantastic. If Pereira wasn't there, Mitrovic, I think, would become much more attractive in my mind. But owning the double up of Fulham for the fixtures that they have coming up, like when they start,
that's the challenge, I think.
When they start
Let's have
playing,
a look at them fixtures.
When they start playing the likes of Liverpool and Spurs, and they've got difficult fixtures, I don't think I want to be doubled up on them. Now, yes, I know you could bench Pereira, but it's tough.
Second bottom Fulham right now, away at Arsenal, which is a difficult game. Home to Brighton. Brighton have already proved that they're pretty astute, particularly on the road defensively. Brighton look very, very good. Then it's Spurs away. Then it's Chelsea.
I'm going to that game.
Are you going to that game? Even Forest away. Listen, the way that Forest are potentially playing, that's not easy either. So second bottom right now, Fulham. I think you're probably too late on Mitrovic, but if you've got Andreas Pereira, I think he's a hold. He's an easy hold, isn't he? You just stick him in there and you stick him on a bench if you need to for a couple of weeks.
Unless Pereira gets himself seriously injured, I don't see me selling Pereira come what may for the whole season. I think he'll be there because at the price tag...
He was great at the weekend.
Look,
I loved him.
To be honest, though, Lee, even if he was awful, you'd still own him, wouldn't you? You could just bench him. Third bench every week, perfect. Yeah. But the fact that he is what he's doing at the moment and he's getting attacking returns and he's so involved and he's on set pieces, that just intensifies why he's such a good pick. So, yes, absolutely on Pereira. But it does make Mitrovic less attractive to me through no fault of Mitrovic's own, but simply because I don't really want to.
Yeah, okay. I did notice, actually, in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, if you're not a member of Fantasy Football Scout yet, you can go and join via the link in the description below. Not too late to join. Never is it a bad time to join Fantasy Football Scout, I would say, the membership.
But
area. Very, very good.
Now it is a good time because it's the last couple of weeks of the offer being on a preseason offer.
That's why I stumbled over my words a minute ago, because I was about to say it and I thought, what if it's not? What if they've stopped doing it? But it's available still for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Excellent. I'm glad you know. And you saved me from that horrific faux pas. I noticed, actually, in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, because it's not too late to get your Fantasy Football Scout season membership. They've got 2 more weeks running on the promo. I don't know if you knew that. 2 more weeks running on the promo. Noticed in the members area that Mitrovic top for shots this week with 8 shots. Second was 2 Everton boys, actually, Gordon and Gray, interestingly.
Not Dele Alli.
Certainly not Dele Alli, who looks as if he's on his way to Turkey. Seen this?
He just bought him.
Dele Alli on his way to Trabzonspor or somewhere in Turkey. Oh, just honestly, the guy, he doesn't care, does he? He doesn't care.
It's really, don't you think it's actually really sad?
No, I don't. Mitrovic was top for shots this week by some way with 8.
Was he top for touches in the opponent's half?
No, touches in the opponent's half, which is the stat we always reel out here on a Sunday night in FPL Family. He was not there at all, nor, by the way, in the top 5 was Mr. João Cancelo. Not in the top 5. Shock, horror. Every week he's top for touches in the opponent's half. This week, No.
Have we entered the twilight zone?
This week, no. He was actually...
Cancelo?
Cancelo was fourth for passing in the game week. But touches in the opponent's half was Rodri, actually.
Another City player.
Closely followed by Cucurella and then Ruben Neves from Wolves. So, yeah, João Cancelo, unusually not top for touches in the opponent's half. But Mitrovic, getting shots away. Getting shots away and getting in all the areas. But I don't think you want him with these fixtures coming up. I think if you were going to spend that sort of money, I think you'd find a bit more and go to Tony, personally. I think you'd go to Tony. Where else should we go with some of these games, Sam? What else is the community talking about? I just want to have a quick word. I don't want to spend too long on it. Aston Villa, I think, need a kick up the backside. They lost this game at Crystal Palace, which is, by the way, not a big deal because Crystal Palace are playing very, very well. I don't want to talk too much. They were 1-0 up. Watkins did take his goal very well. Don't want to talk too much about them because they are, I think, if you look at the fixture ticker, absolutely bottom of the fixture ticker, despite the fact they have West Ham at home next and the way the Hammers are playing.
They're awful.
That's not... It maybe doesn't feel like quite the week to sell Leon Bailey or others if you held on to them. However, they did lose this game to Crystal Palace at the weekend. And I have to say, I was thoroughly, thoroughly impressed with Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace have entered a new stage of their evolution, I think. If they were a Pokemon, they'd be evolving right now.
Oh my God.
They are all over it, and Vieira is stamping his mark.
If they
mark.
Were a Pokemon...
They'd be powering really? Up. They are powering up right now,
for God's
Crystal
sake.
Palace.
Guys, welcome to my life.
They are powering up.
I have to deal with this nonsense.
What are you saying about Crystal Palace? What did you make of their performance at the weekend?
I mean, they were exactly like a Charmander.
Look at you with your Pokemon knowledge.
Yeah, Crystal Palace. I mean, look.
What do you mean, yeah?
No.
Did you watch Match of Day highlights?
Yes, I did, but...
They were awesome.
I'm just going to say that Zaha, if you bring him in, will absolutely troll you.
Yeah, probably. He does look as if he's different this season, although we always say
that. You know that the transfer window's open.
Yes, I know, but listen, he's played under Hodgson for ages. He's played under other managers. I just think under Vieira, he's found his manager. And he's got quality around him now.
I choose you.
No, he's got quality around him. He's got Eze played brilliantly. Mateta's goal. See Mateta's goal?
Yeah.
I mean, the ball in from Tyrek Mitchell is out of this world. The finish from Mateta is really, really good as well. Edouard chipping in with an assist as well. I think they're really good, Crystal Palace. I think they're really good. Let's have a look at their fixtures coming up to see whether we would invest in them. Crystal Palace towards the bottom, and it's Manchester City away next. So probably not the right week to invest. But believe me, when it gets to game week 5...
Wildcard time.
Well, 6 is Newcastle away. But yeah, first wildcard time, sort of 7 or 8. At the minute, I think I would want a Crystal Palace attacker in there because they look really good. Free flowing. Vieira's just stamping his authority. You haven't got much of a thought. I'm not really selling Crystal Palace here to you, am I?
I think Vieira is a fantastic manager. I think he's doing great things at Crystal Palace. I don't want Zaha because I know what happens. The week I bring Zaha in, Crystal Palace fall apart. It's guaranteed. And then I think there's a lot of rotation issues and potential problems. Like, I like Eze. I do. I think I want to see more from them. I don't think we'll see a lot from them next week against Manchester City. I don't know.
I think if they play like Newcastle played today and go for City and try and get them on the counter-attack, their pace on the counter-attack is unreal, Palace.
Wow.
Honestly, when they come up against a low block, they'll struggle.
Pep on a rocket.
When they go to Bournemouth, they'll struggle. But I think Palace have got something. I honestly do. Second for XG underachievers this game week, by the way, Jordan Ayew. Were it not for a very good save from Martinez, could have been on the score sheet as well. So listen, don't want to talk about them too much because they've got City next. But over the next few weeks, watch the Palace narrative start to come to the fore because I think they're a really good side this season. Let's talk about your lot then. Go on, cast our minds all the way back to Saturday lunchtime. Spurs 1, Wolves 0. Selling Haaland for Kane in game week 2 feels as if it's kind of netting out about the same at the minute.
I mean, isn't that the thing though? Like this is the thing for me is that I think you have to make a choice between Haaland and Kane because roughly speaking, they're probably going to be equalish over the course of the season. And for me, moving between them, you're always likely to miss a haul, as we saw in game week 2. I think Kane, if I owned him, would be an easy hold. I can't understand why he's the second most sold player in the game at the moment. The only player that's been sold by more managers is Darwin, and that's because he's suspended for 2 weeks. Like, I just don't, I can't understand the Kane out thing at all. Weirdly, Son, I could understand if Son was second most sold player.
What's up with him?
Well, I don't think there's anything up with him. I think he's just not quite, it's just not quite clicked yet. And I think when it clicks, it'll be different.
He's clicking in pre-season, so what's up with him?
I don't know, but I don't think there's anything particularly wrong at the moment. I just noticed
he was sixth for XG underachievers actually this week, so maybe could have had something, but
probably should have. But
I think if you're spending 12 million on him, well, you just can't right now.
I mean, I watched that game obviously, and Kulusevski didn't get any returns either. But I was so impressed by Kulusevski. I was so impressed. And when you're talking about 4 million in difference in price between Son and Kulusevski, if I owned Son, it would be an easy sell for me this week. I'd be easily going down to Kulusevski. Save the 4 million, use the 4 million to invest somewhere else. I think Son will come good. He's a cracking player.
Yeah,
there's no way he goes the whole season playing like he is right now. However, the way that Spurs are at the moment, we're kind of... He is the one that's going to... If Conte seems to like bringing Richarlison on or around 70 minutes.
Not going to stand for that for very long, is he, Richarlison? Being an impact sub?
Well, things are
going to... Pay 60 million for this lad.
Things are going to change, though, aren't they, in and around the Champions League? Because they have to. We're going to have to be competing on multiple fronts, which is something that we haven't done for a few years. So things will inevitably change. But when he does bring Richarlison on, it's Son's position that gets sacrificed over Kulusevski's, which is what I was saying in pre-season when everyone was like, oh, Kulusevski's a non-option because of Richarlison. Richarlison isn't a threat to Kulusevski. Richarlison's a threat more to Son than he is to Kulusevski. Kulusevski can play in other positions. He can move around, but doesn't really play in Richarlison's spot. I think Kulusevski's really impressed me, and I think he would be the one I would go to because it's going to be difficult with Kane. And then, of course, you've got the issues at the back. Now, what I would say is that, you know, you brought in Perisic this week, which was obviously a good move. We've now got to wait and see because he went off sort of holding his hamstring, had a little bit of a conversation. I don't think it's a major issue. Yeah.
But if he's okay, is it the right time to bring him in?
I would like to sit here and say yes, but I still think that there's a chance that he puts Sessegnon in for a game here, and you know, there's rotation there. I think on the other side, when Doherty is fully fit, there is very little rotation that will happen there because Doherty is by far and away a better option than Emerson Royale. Whereas I think Perisic at the moment is a better option than Sessegnon, but not by a lot. And Sessegnon can do a job, particularly with the fixtures the way that they are for Spurs. Spurs have got nice fixtures coming up now. So it would be easy for him to kind of move around, and he's going to want Perisic. I think he'll want to play Perisic in the Champions League.
Well, let's just have a look at those Spurs fixtures just while we're talking about them. Yes, it's Forest, West Ham, Fulham, Man City, and then Leicester. I think it's game week 5 that's the midweek game week, isn't it? I think.
It's not... It's West Ham.
It's West Ham, yes. Game week 5, yeah. So if that was my feeling, getting Perisic in, was I felt like he was going to get the start against Wolves. That was one of my reasons
to
bring
him
in.
Yeah, I thought he would.
A lot of the Spurs journos, those that are in the know, more or less all of them said he's going to get the start. And I'm thinking, well, if they're all saying it, pretty good chance that he does. Then I thought, well, Forest away, that's a reasonable game as well. A difficult game, right? But, that's a game that I think you'd want him for. Then if he does get rotated in game week 5, because it's a midweek game against West Ham, which, by the way, if he's showing reasonable form, I'm not sure that he would, but say that he does, then you've got Fulham at home to Brighton, where I can bring in Andreas Pereira and not worry about Perisic getting benched. And then I would expect Perisic to come back in for Fulham at home. Then it's Man City away, then I'm thinking about wildcarding and whatever, right? But that was my thinking behind Perisic, was if I got Wolves at home, Forest away, and Fulham at home in the next 4 game weeks, I'd accept that. I brought him in on that basis.
I think Perisic is a nice pick. I do think there is some rotation, and I think there will be with Sessegnon. I think we'll see Sessegnon come on for minutes. But what you will get from Perisic is the attacking threat that we saw against Wolves. Now, I think that we should also take the Wolves game with a little bit of a... Not a pinch of salt, that's the wrong phrase, but we aren't very good against Wolves, and we are terrible, absolutely terrible in the 12:30 kickoffs. I don't know what happens to us. It's almost like it's the middle of the night or something. You can't play in a 12:30 game. So I watched that game. We were lethargic. We were lacklustre. We haven't yet seen Spurs play in the best that they can. I think we've been...
I'd agree.
We've been average. We weren't very good against Chelsea. We were lucky to grind something out of that. We weren't very good against Wolves. We were probably lucky to get the win. But we've got seven...
Yeah.
But we've got 7 points. The Cats are going mental outside now. But we're going into some nice fixtures now. And hopefully we'll start to see some more consistency in terms of who's starting. And we'll start to see a bit more free-flowing football, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
So I do want to be invested in Spurs. The kind of question...
You haven't got any right now, have you?
No, it's...
And you've got two Arsenal.
I have, yeah.
How does that feel?
I mean, it's fine. It's not great. But it's fine. I mean, Spurs in is a priority for me. Reece James maybe goes.
Here's a question for you, Sam. Super chat from Angelo Davies. Thank you, Angelo, for the super chat. Reece James, Neto and Ward.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
Zinchenko, Rodrigo and Sanchez.
100%.
In for a -4. Yeah. Got to do it tonight. I'll be priced out. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd do it.
You get rid of Reece James that quickly, would you?
Have you seen Chelsea?
You're bringing in Rodrigo against Sanchez in game week 4.
You don't have to play Sanchez.
Well, why would you do... Just don't do the water Sanchez then and don't spend the full -4.
Yeah, that's an option.
Possible. But you reckon it's... I don't know.
I think Reece... Like, I would... Rodrigo... Easily, I think that's a great move. I do not like the Reece James pick at all right now. I don't trust Chelsea to keep clean sheets. I don't like the fact that he was playing at centre-back today. I hate the fact that Koulibaly's been sent off because that's going to stick him in the middle even more unless they sign somebody, surely.
Yeah, I think Fofana's price just went up 5 million, didn't it?
We'll
talk about Chelsea next time. What about Wolves then for their part? The new boys looking okay, but they've got to be given a bit of time to settle in, haven't they? And then Bruno Lage's going to find a bit of rhythm with them potentially. Good to see from their perspective, Raul Jimenez back on the pitch probably a bit sooner than we thought, actually. Yeah. So that's probably not a bad thing. If you were a Neto owner,
I'd sell.
You'd sell him, would you? Mm. Even with Raul Jimenez coming back and a few of these new players coming to the fore? No?
Yeah, because Leeds is it. Leeds. Wolves feel very new start. I don't know. It feels very much like everything's going to take time.
Yeah.
And I think maybe at the midpoint of the season, we might start to want to be invested in Wolves. But even at Neto's price point, I think there are better options in and around that price that you could go with in teams that are more stable, more secure, and are playing better. Now, Wolves always play well against Spurs. They seem to be able to do one over on us most times. But I don't know. I'm not keen on Wolves. I'd sell Neto. I think you just
wait. Where'd you go with him, though? 5'5", isn't he? I mean...
But there's other players...
Granit Xhaka?
What?
Come on, Granit Xhaka.
I'm obsessed with Granit Xhaka. What's up with you?
He's another one. I said Gundogan a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm saying Granit Xhaka. What of it? Let's go back to...
What do you think Granit Xhaka's going to do?
He's already got 3 assists. That's like the most he's got ever in any Premier League season. So he's going to break his assist record because we're only on game week 3.
Or he's going to get sent off.
Yeah, listen, he's fine. You and B are too worried about the red cards. You've got to look on the upside. Quick chat about... let's talk about...
Chelsea.
Yes, go on, Chelsea then. So what happened? What the hell happened to Tuchel's boys this week?
Okay.
Was it just a case of Leeds being really good or were Chelsea bad or a bit of both?
Both. Leeds, look, I think, and I said this to you, I remember standing in a queue in the middle of Legoland in Denmark saying to you, I've bought in Reece James, I don't think he's going to keep a clean sheet because I think Leeds will score in this game.
Yeah.
Comfortably score in this game, and they did. Now, Mendy's had an absolute mare for the Aronson one.
Oh, he's had a stinker, hasn't he? First one. I mean, that is David De Gea-esque.
Oh. I mean, if you're Kepa, you're thinking, yes, I'm getting a game.
He's getting in.
It's that bad. but forget that one. Chelsea did not deserve to win this game. Leeds deserved to win the game. They were better side. What did they
do better, Leeds, though? Because watching the game, I sort of felt like they just wanted it more and worked harder. They and their movement off the ball was better. I wouldn't necessarily say they kind of out-footballed Chelsea. I'd just say they just out-worked them. I just think... from a Chelsea perspective, that's a bit worrying, isn't it? Because it was the same 11 that played against Spurs last week.
Yeah, but I said to you earlier today, and you said I was being savage... And I probably was. But Chelsea, they've got quality players. And last week, they were well up for the derby. They were at home, in front of their fans.
What, you reckon they just didn't fancy it away at Leeds?
Honestly, the performances that we saw today versus the performances we saw last week.
Oh, that's a theory.
Like, that Chelsea team last week, same team, came out quality. Dominated Spurs, played us off the park, were unlucky not to win that game. They were brilliant. tactically brilliant. Okay. Everything was right. Okay. Attitude was right. Focus was right. Today, they've gone up to Leeds. Leeds are like, yes, up for it. And they were up for it, Leeds. They were off the bat straight away. Up for a win. Up for the fight. I think Marsh has done really well with them. He's got them focused. Yeah, he's got them driving. He's got a team that he's built and he's created. But remember, this is a team that only stayed up on the last day of the season, right? Yeah. They don't look like a team that only stayed up on the last day of the season. And have just sold their best two players. And Bamford is injured. You know, this is a team that is not the best team that they've ever had, but they're playing like the best team Leeds has ever had.
Yeah.
And then you've got Chelsea, who've turned up there, got frustrated. Koulibaly's got himself sent off. The keeper's having a howler.
Yeah. I read a stat that Leeds ran collectively 7 kilometres more than Chelsea effort. In that it's game effort. As well. That was what struck me as being the most interesting bit, is that Leeds just... I just wanted it more. And all right, the first goal was comedy. Second goal wasn't that much better either. But they struck me as they wanted it more. They honestly did.
Defensively, Chelsea haven't been great though, have they? Like, we've all gone to Reece James, but so far this season, they have not been great defensively. They're not keeping clean sheets. And we've got Reece James for his attacking threat. But we aren't going to see that if he's playing on the side of the centre-backs. So it's not ideal. I don't think the system worked today. I think it worked really well against Spurs. I don't think the system worked against Leeds. I wonder if we'll see a change next week. But with Koulibaly suspended now, they need a centre-back and fast.
It feels like their biggest attacking threat is Reece James. And when you stick him in the back three, he hasn't got the opportunity to provide that threat.
Correct.
It baffles me that he doesn't play in right wing, but it's lack of options, isn't it?
Loftus-Cheek played well last week against Spurs, so the system works. But the thing is, the system works against the Spurs team, and the system that works against Spurs won't work against Leeds. They are very different, and I think there was a bit of I don't think they tactically got it right this week in the way that they did last week. And I don't think the effort was there from the Chelsea players this week. I think their heads went after the Mendy collapse.
So what are you now saying about Leeds midfield then? Because that is going to be what a lot of the FPL community are now looking at. Because, yeah, Harrison fifth overall for BPS this game with 43. Only four players better than him. And the fixtures for Leeds, let's have a look at this, don't look too bad. I mean, Brighton away, I think it's actually a tricky game. But then Everton and Brentford and Forest and Man United... They're looking investable all of a sudden, aren't they? And it's not just Harrison. You've got Rodrigo out of position because Bamford's injured for a little while.
Yeah.
Tell me about your opinion on Aaronson. Are you as high on him as I am? I think he looks absolute class.
Yeah.
He looks real lively.
I like all three of them. I've got a Leeds player. It's the wrong one, as usual.
Who have you got?
Oh, I've got Greenwood. Just comes on for some 1-point cameos here and there.
You're not expecting much from a 4.5, though. Come on.
No, I'm quite happy with the 1 points he keeps bringing in. Yeah, he keeps coming on. That's fine. But I think, for me, Harrison, Rodrigo...
Aaronson.
Whichever one of them you can afford to invest in. If money was no object, I'd go Rodrigo. Because at the moment he's playing out of position where Bamford should be. Even when Bamford was fit and playing, he was still attacking. They were doing it together. So I don't think Bamford, when he eventually comes back, will have a negative impact on Rodrigo. If anything, I think it'll be positive.
I read somewhere today that the football manager Rodrigo is finally here. And I was like, what does that mean? And you know the game Football Manager?
Yeah.
Apparently he is absolute class.
Well, he's quality.
Rodrigo is well good on football.
I've got a lot of time for him right now. I think he's really, really good. I mean, he was the one after game week one that I said I think we should all be looking to invest in, and I think we should have done. I don't think it's too late, by the way. But I do like Harrison. I like the way Marsh has got him playing. I like what he's done with that Leeds team. They are looking like a nice unit to attack with and to invest in attack-wise. And they're nice and cheap. So if you don't have the budget and you can only afford to go Aaronson, do it. It looks nice. Yeah. If you've got a little bit more money, you can go to Harrison, you can go to Rodrigo. Then you can spend the extra. I don't think you need to, but you can. But of the three, Rodrigo's my preference.
Okay, all right. What other games do we want to discuss, Sam? Is there any conversations that we want to have? I mean, what's happening at West Ham?
Awful. Avoid.
What's going on, though? What's changed?
Well, nothing's probably changed, but they did this a couple of years ago, didn't they? We had this conversation this afternoon. They said, like, 2 years ago, they started awfully, didn't they? Do you remember? And then Moyes got COVID, and then suddenly they were brilliant. Never and they good. Played all season really well after that.
Yeah.
I just think with West Ham, just sometimes it feels like it just takes a little bit of time for them to click. And their defence is...
Better hurry up. But their defence 0 points.
But their defence is a problem at the minute. They've got key injuries in the defence. I don't know. I think it will be fine. But right now, they're a team to target rather than invest.
At the moment, it feels like that. Yeah, it certainly does. Any other games that you want to cover?
Brighton continue to look like nice options, by the way, in that game. If you
defensively
go,
pretty good.
And yeah, if you want to go Groves or Trossard, they look all right as options.
Okay, all right. Well, look, that's loads more we can discuss. I mean, even Forrest getting a point at Everton, I think, is a really good result for them.
I was so annoyed by that Everton goal.
Why?
Well, I played Nico Williams.
Ah, you played Nico. Ah, well, many will have played Nico Williams, no doubt. And actually, he's probably the main talking point from
that
game.
He was the most attacking player in that. Bless him.
Good.
It was his Liverpool hat on. He really wanted to score against Everton.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did. He's a cracking little player. He was very Trent-esque in that game, if you don't mind me saying. He'll get points for us at 4.0. He's no issue with taking him out of the team
at all. Most of the time when we benched him, probably. No issue.
This is one of the things about FPL this season, just talking about the meta for a minute, is that we tend to spend the first 5 to 6 or 7 game weeks trying to pick out where the 4.5 midfielder is and who the 4.0 defender is.
It's obvious.
I think it's there, isn't it? Yeah. It's right in front of
you.
It's
obvious.
It might be Patterson if you really want to go there, but it's not for me. It's Nico, absolutely.
Well, is Patterson potentially as well if you want to double up on the 4.0s?
Maybe, but if you're going one, it's Nico.
Yeah.
And at 4.5, I'm here for the Josh De Silva conversation, but it's Andreas Pereira for me at 4.5. I think you have those two and they're your enablers.
Yeah.
Job done. Job done. So let's talk about, Sam, before we get to our teams, let's just have a quick shout out to our new patrons. Lots of new patrons joining us over on patreon.com/FPL family over the last week or so. So thank you, everybody, for joining us over there. Links are all in the description below. If you just want a little bit more Sam and Lee in your life, if you'd like to join our Slack community, we do extra bonus podcasts on a Friday or the day before the game week deadline. So you've got a feel for what we're doing with our teams and what our transfers are. So
sometimes Lee records it on a hill outside a hotel room in the middle
of Denmark. Like I did this week. Yeah, that was random, wasn't it? The patrons actually quite like that, I think.
He said to me, we put the kids to bed and he went, right, we've got to record Ohana. And I was like,
where are you going to do that?
Where are we going to do that?
Because we're in a hotel room, all the kids were in the other end of the room, basically. Yeah.
And then he was like, I don't know, I'll go and find somewhere. And I was in the hotel room packing, ready to come home. And then he came back in, he was like, I just went and stood up on that hill. I was like,
it's actually quite liberating, you know.
You did
just what? Standing on a hill in Denmark. There was quite a few, because we were quite under the flight path, there was quite a few planes that were going on in the background as I was talking about Perisic.
Wow.
So there we go. That's the sort of stuff you can get via our Patreon, if you fancy an extra podcast every single week. Access to Slack, if you want to do Zoom calls with us. We've had a couple of new people join us at the Zoom Patreon tier as well.
I'm actually doing one this week.
You're doing one this week with one of our new Zoom patrons. I look forward to that. And Manager of the Month competition. Lots of other stuff. If you want to go check it out, if you want a bit more FPL family in your life, go to patreon.com/FPL family. The links are in the description below. Go check us out over there. And we've also got a bit of an update on the end of game week 2. So this is the end of game week 2 results.
And Lucy's up there
in
again.
The August Manager of the Month. We've got Bryce and Lucy and Lee fighting it out for our August Manager of the Month competition. Now, interestingly, both Bryce and Lucy are former
champions.
Manager of the Month champions. So Lee has got his work cut out, and so has Lucy, actually, to get up to where Bryce is, because Bryce has got an 8-point lead going into game week 3. So once the Liverpool-Man United game is done, I will total up everybody's scores, because I have everybody in a spreadsheet and I collect all of their scores offline on my little spreadsheet, and then I post an update in the Slack and on Patreon to see who is leading our competition. And right now, at the end of game week 2, it was Bryce. Bryce Law is up there with 170, so a really, really good start to the season. Bryce, by the way, his overall rank at the end of game week 2 was 4K, doing brilliantly.
Wow.
And Lucy was in at about, I think, 25K, 24K. So we have some really, really good FPL managers out there, guys, in our Slack to help you with your teams week to week. Sam, let's talk about your team for the game.
Why have we got to go from these guys to me?
Do you want to talk about mine first?
No, just let's rip the band-aid off.
Go for it.
It's been a disaster. Right, unmitigated disaster.
You won't be the only one.
No, I won't be the only one, and I'm all right with it at the moment.
You've got 3 left to go and your captain.
I've got my...
Stop worrying.
Luis Diaz is gonna get... Oh, hello.
It's a pink.
Luis Diaz is... I think that's about the bed delivery.
It is, yeah.
Luis Diaz is going to get an absolute hatful tomorrow. Just telling
you
now.
I hope he does, yes.
In my Sam crystal ball, he's going to get 4 goals. Moving on from that, the rest of them, it's pretty much been an unmitigated disaster. Now, one thing I just want to talk about for a minute is the Man City defence, because there was a lot of people earlier going, you can't go investing in two in the Man City defence. That's why you've got to avoid it. for me, this is the last 2 weeks. Those two have been brilliant, Cancelo and Ederson.
Yeah.
They have been fantastic for me for 2 weeks now. This is 1 week where it was just a brilliant game of football, to be honest. And Newcastle were excellent, and it is what it is. I still like them. I'm still keeping them. Reece James is on the hit list. I took a -4 for him. Ugh, makes me feel physically sick.
Yeah, many will have.
Nico Williams will go back to my bench probably for next week, but we'll talk about bus teams in a minute. Trent, obviously, still to come. Salah, captain, still to come. And Luis Diaz to come. Your other transfer
there was Martinelli.
But my other transfer was Martinelli and with the six. And then, obviously, I played Pereira, Haaland and Jesus both returning. So those four up top, the four forwards that I've played so far doing the business. My bench is a frustration. But if I'm really honest, the only decision I would have to make, and the Slack guys will testify to this, on Saturday morning, I was really between the Pereira and Bailey, and I was backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards as to which one of them I played. But I was only ever going to play one. Trippier was never getting on my pitch, even though I knew that he had the potential for one of those free kicks. But I just, and after
4 minutes, that's looking like a good decision.
Just against Man City, I wasn't ever going to play him. So the bench, I'm not. It's what it is. So, three to go.
If the Liverpool game gets called off, you've got Bailey and Trippier coming in.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I think there's a lot of FPL.
Well, the Liverpool game's not going to get called off, but.
Well, it might do.
What purpose?
They're going to protest, aren't they?
Oh, stop. They're not going to protest that much that the game gets called off.
Well, I don't think so either, but stranger things have happened.
I think for me, I'm sort of happy-ish. I'm not happy about. There's a few things I'm not happy about with my team, but I don't think I'm unhappy enough to wildcard yet. What's going to annoy me, I think, is I'm going to feel at the end of next week. This time next week, I think I'm going to feel like I want to wildcard, but I can't because the game week starts on Tuesday. So I think I'm then going to feel...
You can wildcard whenever it's right.
No, but I'm not going to wildcard over bank holiday Monday before the game week starts on Tuesday. I know I won't.
Right.
I'll end up waiting for... I think I will wildcard. I'll let game week 5 kick off. And then I'll hit the button, I think.
All right. Okay, well, listen, you've still got three to go. You've still got your captain to go. Anything could happen. And we'll talk about bus teams in just a second. But nevertheless, 27-4, an overall rank of 5.8 for what it's worth right now. Plenty of time for that to change.
Oh, by the way, one thing just to say.
Yes?
Most managers ever in the game. Ever.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
It's amazing.
And never happens. Now over 10 million or something ridiculous,
at this point, like, we even at the back end of last season when you had the most managers ever, we have already beaten it. So
the popularity of the game, and maybe this is a conversation for an Ohana podcast, a bonus patron podcast, because the popularity of the game
seems to have taken
a step change this season. I personally think a lot of that is to do with the fact that Sky are getting behind it as well.
Yeah, it's great.
And they're now not, you know, so much promoting their own. Can you stop kicking bottles over? That's twice that bottle's gone over.
It wasn't my fault the first time.
Well, if it's it was your fault, the cat came in and kicked it over.
Right. I'm not being funny, but how hot's it got in here?
Oh my God.
Hasn't it got hot?
I'm trying to have a serious conversation about how the popularity of the game has gone, and you're kicking bottles over.
I didn't mean to.
Oh my God. Anyway, what I was saying was, I do think the popularity of the game has had a shot in the arm from the fact that Sky are getting behind it, and their game seem to be getting less behind their game and more behind the official game. But listen, it's good. Either way, it's good that the game has got its record amount of players at game week 3. Because it's only going to improve, right? It's only going to go one way, which is good. Which is good. This is my team for the week. I must admit, I didn't think I was doing that well. And then I looked at generally how people are getting on this week, and I feel like it's all right. I feel like it's actually more than all right. I'm up to 320k for what that's worth, because it's not worth anything at this stage of the season. The big at the back is a bit of a disaster.
Not working.
The Cancelo and James thing. I bought James in this week for Robbo. Probably going to live to regret that. Hope that I do, because that means he's doing well against Manchester United. But my fairly last-minute transfer to do Trippier to Perisic, I think he's saving my bacon this game week. No doubt about it. Now, listen, the Andreas 8-pointer, the Sanchez 8-pointers, definitely, definitely very welcome. The Sanchez clean sheet, I did a silent little fist bump when that got locked in, I can tell you.
If you hadn't have done that transfer, would you have played Trippier?
Probably yes. Yes.
Or would you have played Nico Williams?
Trippier, probably.
Okay.
Because he can bang in a free kick at any time, as we saw today.
Okay.
Right? As we saw today.
So, So, still, you're still on the right side of it.
Yeah.
But not by as much as if you would have played Nico.
Yeah.
But, okay.
you know, listen, Martinelli's returned, Jesus returned, Haaland. So my biggest, not whinge, because I appreciate I've had an all right game week, I think, but my biggest whinge is Foden, because I was going into that game thinking, if Foden can get something, great, because he's EO in and around me at something like 5, 6%. So he's a massive differential for me. To come back with just the 2 points is a bit of a shame, no doubt about it.
What are you going
to
do about Foden?
Well, do you know what? I don't know. It was frustrating watching him today, you know, because all of the threat that City had seemed to come through the middle. Even the wing-backs, they come in now. And actually, we saw Alan Saint-Maximin and others exploit some of the
space.
Three
assists for him today.
He was on fire today. Walker will not be sleeping tonight because he'll be thinking about how ASM has pulled his pants.
Pep will still be shouting at him.
ASM had just one of those games. If he could be like that every week, by the way,
I love him. Don't you love him?
He'd be probably the next Messi. He was unbelievable today.
It was. There was such a great bromance in the interview with him and Trippier after the game, where Trippier basically sung his praises. And then he stood there slightly embarrassed that Trippier was like gushing over it, how well he was. And then he went, should we talk about how good your free kick was? And then the commentator was like, oh, there we go.
Well, that's the challenge with him, is consistency, right? But for sure, Eddie Howe...
Things are different now at Newcastle.
But for sure, Eddie Howe got that right, didn't he, today? Because he noticed that, you know, Cancelo and Walker like to come in. And he noticed that that would therefore give space, if they play in the back four, for the likes of Saint-Maximin. And when you've got a player like that that can do damage in those sorts of spaces, you've got to use it. And they did, to great effect. But the bigger point that I want to make about Foden is that with those two fullbacks coming in, and Gundogan and Kevin De Bruyne are getting forward, a lot of their threat seems to be coming from through the middle. And actually, they don't seem to be creating too much out wide. And Foden and... who was it in this game that played on the other side? Not sure who played the other side. I can't even remember. But the two players that play up with Haaland, their, I wouldn't say sole purpose, but a lot of their game now is about, can I stretch the pitch so I can create more space for Erling and the others coming through the middle? I don't really want that as in my 8 million midfielder. I want my 8 million midfielder cutting in and coming into the box like Kulusevski.
Oh, you can't have Kulusevski as well.
Well, I'm probably not going to go there because I don't think we've seen quite enough of him yet.
Oh, you will.
But listen, Foden's got... I think they've got Palace at home next.
So you may be thinking of holding.
Is it Palace at home next? I've just got
it is Palace at home. It is, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Yes, Palace at home. And then it's Forest at home. And then it's Villa away. It's just,
but the thing is...
look too good. I can't sell him, can I? I've got to kind of hold on to him, I think.
My honest opinion is that Foden could become a player that you just keep hold of, because the fixtures are always going to look good for City. You almost have to forget the fixture ticker when you've got City players, because the reality is you're not benching them against anybody. You're going to play them against Liverpool, you're going to play them against Spurs, you're going to play them against Arsenal, Chelsea, everybody. So the fixtures actually are irrelevant right now for Foden. So you have to judge it on where he's playing on the pitch. Now, we've seen 3 weeks worth of Foden. I would argue that in the 3 weeks worth of Foden we've seen 45 minutes of really good football.
Yeah.
We saw him again today not pass the ball to Foden to Haaland when he really should have done, took it himself. Foden was in a better position. I don't think that we've seen enough from Foden that means we should keep him. I appreciate that this does mean that he's going to go absolutely mental in game week 4.
The chat making some good comments about the fact that, you know, we're talking about a league because Bernardo was playing on the other side and he got goal and assist from right wing stroke right midfield today. So, yeah, you know, maybe my rhetoric about those two forwards being a bit too wide is, well, actually Bernardo managed to get some points, so why couldn't Foden? And Anthony, Gary's made a good point. Thank you, Anthony. Now, actually, Foden's inability to square a short pass to Haaland for the second game in succession
game in
is actually causing him to not get some assists that perhaps he could do. It's interesting.
I think you'd be better off to have Rodrigo in that position than we would Foden.
Who?
We'd be better off to go to Rodrigo.
Maybe.
You'd be better off to go... like, there are a lot of players in the game right now who make really, really nice options. I mean, you've just said you want to upgrade Archer. Like, for me, I'd be looking at Foden and going, you are an easy downgrade right now to a 6 million midfielder, and that gives me the budget I need to take Archer up. Like, that, for me, if that was my team, Foden would be straight out the door.
Yeah, I'm with you. And if I was super, super keen on Tony, which I am pretty keen, but I'm not, like, ripping my team up, taking hits for him, Foden would probably be the one that made way. And, it would probably go to, like, a Rodrigo or something like that, probably. And then I'd play the three up top. It would leave my midfield looking pretty light, because then I'd have Bailey, Martinelli, Andreas and Rodrigo. I wouldn't have that kind of 8 million midfielder slot, which I quite like. And I still think that Diaz is going to... I think he's going to explode at some stage, right? Because I just think he's got it in him.
Tomorrow.
I hope so. So yeah, I don't know really what to make of Foden. I was hoping for more than the two, put it that way today. I was hoping that my good game week was going to turn into a super one with Foden maybe getting a goal or assist. But nevertheless, it's okay. I've had a good week. And the fact that Perisic and the Sanchez 8-pointer came in, I think that enables me to give Foden another week potentially. Let's go to then our bus teams then. That's probably a nice lead on to here. I don't think I'm going to make a transfer. And I know that a few of you were saying, well, is it the right week to wildcard? If I look at my team as it is right now, there's no way that I would wildcard that. Look, everyone's at home, with the exception of Perisic, who's away at Forest, which ain't a bad fixture. Even Bailey at home to West Ham. I mean, Bailey got, an assist this week? Hit the bar as well? He looked fairly lively. I mean, it's probably his only shot on goal, that one that hit the bar. But nevertheless, still looked okay.
I've got to get mine in front of me.
Still. Even if he doesn't play, I've got maybe a Nico or an Andreas to come in. It's not the end of the world. I think my team's okay. I think the captains, I've got all the main captaincies. It's going to be Haaland, Jesus or Salah, I think. Again, it's going to be one of those. It's going to be captaincy. I'm currently bust on Salah, but I'm not averse to moving it around. I think I'm going to save a transfer. That's my current thinking. And then I'll go into game week 5, as I did coming into this game, with my 2-3s, and then think about it a bit more then. And maybe we'll know a little bit more about whether Tony's the real deal. We'll know, by then I'll have either lost the plot or not with Foden. We'll know by then whether, Leeds just come up against a really bad Chelsea side today, or whether they are actually a really good side with some quality players. I think it's the latter.
I think it's both.
Possibly a bit of both. But we are still, guys, in game week 3, are we not? We are still collecting information. I'm trying desperately not to knee-jerk in Tony, not to knee-jerk in Rodrigo, not to rip my team up and take hits for Aronson, because it's fucking bonkers, isn't it?
Stop swearing!
Sorry. But like taking hits for James out ahead of Leicester at home, why would you do that? I just think it's ridiculous. I just think we all need to just calm down a little bit and just look at your team for next week. If you've got at least 7 or 8 of the that I have, which you probably will have because it's a template season so far, you're probably going to be all right. There is no need to wildcard. There is no need to take hits at the moment, I don't think. Are you as calm as me, or are you ripping up your team to get players in? More hits this week for Team Sam.
No more hits.
No?
Okay. My team looks all right, doesn't it?
It looks fine to me.
I've got Edison Cancelo home to Crystal Palace. I've got Trent, Salah and Diaz at home to Bournemouth. Oh, James at home to Leicester. I've got Martinelli and Jesus at home to Fulham. And Haaland obviously at home to Crystal Palace. So I've got potentially played Bailey instead of Pereira. So I'd have Bailey at home to West Ham rather than Andreas away at Arsenal.
You play Bailey, wouldn't you, the way West Ham are playing?
Yeah, I think so. I'll probably swap them two over. And then so my only away player is Trippier away at Wolves, who don't look like scoring many goals, and Trippier, as we've seen, can score. So, I actually think that looks like a really nice team.
That's fine.
So this week I'm probably actually not going to do anything. I'm probably not going to make a transfer this week because I look at them and I think, yes, I could go. I would like to go for Rodrigo. I would like to go for Tony.
But there's people like taking -4s for Leeds players. We're still in silly season, aren't we?
The thing is that for me to get to one of them, it would be a -4. I really, really, really have to get a Spurs player. I'm getting to the point now where if I don't own one, I'm going to...
Do you remember when you had Ollie Skip in your team as a 4-5?
For that reason. Right? And I absolutely... that was when we were awful last year. And I absolutely am at a point where I'm waking up in the night in cold sweats because I don't own a Spurs player. I mean, this is a slight exaggeration.
Two Arsenal, no Spurs.
It's a pretty horrendous time to be alive. However, Forest, I would like to own one for there, but I absolutely have to own one for the West Ham game because they're awful at the moment.
Okay.
But I don't know which one I want. I really want Kane, and that's where the wild card might come in because I am going to watch us play Fulham and I need to be able to captain Harry Kane.
I'll get rid of Haaland.
I don't know. I can't. My life is not worth living at the minute without owning him. And I need more than one. Like, I genuinely think that this season, Spurs and Arsenal are going... And I remove Spurs bias for a minute. But I think they're going to be so... They are already better. And they are going to be the ways to invest. Now, it's harder for Spurs. They're more expensive. It's harder to invest in. Yeah. Arsenal just triple up. Spurs, I would like to double up. But I've got to get at least one. So my thinking is do nothing for game week four and then have the ability to make two transfers in game week five allows me to get Spurs. That was a very long-winded way of saying...
Crystal clear that, Sam. Absolutely crystal clear.
The guys in the chat will know what I'm talking about.
I think there's nothing wrong with your team. I think you just sit on it for a week. I think it's absolutely fine. A few of the guys in the chat saying I need a swear jar. Yes, I apologise for swearing. Yeah. I don't often
What's
do that.
What's going on with you?
I don't know.
What's the matter?
I don't know. I'm getting dizzy up at 300k.
Is it because it's really hot in this room?
No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm not hot tonight. It's fine. A few of the guys saying, what does bus team mean, Lee? You keep saying bus team. What the hell's that? Well,
we
have to give a shout out to one of my favourite podcasts, the Always Cheating podcast. If you're not following the boys Josh and Brandon at Always Cheating over on Twitter, they do a brilliant podcast, comes out every single Monday.
New York, if you go to Fest in America,
if you go to Fest in New York, then you can meet them over
there.
Should
we go to Fest in America?
Well, I don't think we can afford a trip to New York at the moment. But if you the bus team, those guys invented the idea of a bus team, by the way. So a bus team is basically
it's their phrase.
What you do, as soon as the game week deadline passes, so for game week three, you get into the app and you immediately set your team. I do. You immediately set your team for game week four. Because if you get hit by a bus, at least your team's set. It's a bit of a nonsense thing.
I mean, you might be dead.
It's a bit of a nonsense thing, but that's
why
we call it...
Your FPL team will be all right.
That's why we call it a bus team. I know that that Brandon and Josh had that as a bit of an idea...
ages ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Bus team's been a thing. The whole community talks about bus teams now, don't they? Set your bus team.
Yeah.
Those are our bus teams. There are teams ready to go, basically, for next week. If... you made no transfers anymore. This is what my team would look like going into the week.
So there we go. Probably not a lot of changes then. Maybe a not very busy week for us in FPL.
The boring Bonfields then.
Maybe it's the boring Bonfields this week with maybe rolling transfers. But it is not going to be a boring and unbusy week.
Why is TikTok on there?
Why would TikTok not be on there? That's our fastest growing platform at the moment, Sam. Don't you know that? Fastest growing FPL family platform right now is TikTok.
How do you know?
Because I keep an eye on all the numbers and how it's growing. I'm also doing a lot of YouTube shorts at the moment. Some of you might have noticed I'm doing YouTube shorts. This is the future, Sam. Get with it, Grandma, please. TikTok, YouTube shorts, minute-long videos, FPL content. That's the future.
Have you just called me Grandma?
Never mind this hour and a half live stream. This is the algorithm doesn't like this. The algorithm likes little videos. That's why Andy's so bloody good. He's in there with the 18-minute videos, the good thumbnails, the great graphics. We sit here for an hour and a half and ramble about rubbish. The algorithm doesn't like it. What the algorithm likes, it likes TikTok, Sam. It likes little digital bits of content. Come on, you're on Instagram. You could do Insta stories and all that. You do Insta reactions. You should know this.
I do. I'm not a grandma.
So that is why TikTok's on there, Sam. Because it's our fastest growing platform right now. It's where we're seeing the most growth. More than Facebook, put it that way. How's the Facebook going?
It's fine.
Facebook.
Well, my Instagram.
Anybody still on Facebook?
Yeah, my Instagram post over there. I get comments and things.
Oh God, somebody! I just write talk everybody through the week while I kick somebody out of the chat.
I'll be on the official podcast this week. In fact, I'm going to be on two podcasts, official podcasts this week.
You're on every official podcast, Sam.
I'm on every one on Thursday, but this week I'm also on Off the Bench, which is going out on Tuesday, obviously, because it's the Monday night game. So, yes. Harry...
You guys won't want to miss that, by the way. You will not want to miss that.
Me
FPL
and
Harry's debut on the official FPL podcast.
I am
Come on.
So excited for Harry to do his first official Premier League bit. But yeah. I am
on,
also... so excited for me that I get to do it with him. Like, so yeah, buzzing for that.
He's
so,
absolutely like blown up in the last 80. He works really hard on his channel. We know, because we know him pretty well, don't we? And then the way that what he's done on his channel in the last 18 months and on Twitter, he's so good. He has gone from strength to strength. So I'm sure he's buzzing about the official podcast. And I know that you are as well. Those off the bench ones.
They're good.
Tell us what you think, guys, in the comments below in this YouTube video. Let us know what you think of the off the bench podcast this year. I personally find it really, really good.
Yeah. Well, let's see if you find this one really good. So Harry and I will be doing that on Tuesday morning. We'll basically be looking back on game week three. Harry not feeling very happy with life because he's not had a good game week, apparently, and also Chelsea lost. Hopefully Diaz will go mental and then I'll feel really good and Spurs won and it all would be nice.
Good.
So, yes, so that's on Tuesday. And then on Thursday, we'll be back with the official podcast with Kelly and Jules. And we'll be talking about, you know, all things game week four, looking ahead to the upcoming game week. So that will be happening. Obviously, we'll have Ohana going out as usual. And in big news, Lee, this face.
Going to be on Sky.
We'll be on Sky Sports News on Saturday.
Going to be on Sky on Saturday. I don't know who I'm with, actually, because they normally do two pundits, don't they?
There'll be two of you, yeah.
So I think it's, is it 10:40? I should really know this.
10:40
until 11. Saturday morning, I'm going to be on Sky. I won't lie to you, I am papping it a little bit.
Oh, you see? Now the tables have turned. Because I was doing it, you were like, you don't need to worry, you don't need to be nervous.
You don't need to worry, because you're really good at this stuff.
So are you.
Oh, God.
Well, unless you swear all the time, and then you won't be invited back. You better mind your manners, just Mr. Bonfield.
People are saying, get the swear jar open, and maybe I do that on Sky, I'm in big trouble, aren't I?
You won't be allowed back anymore. Oof. You better behave yourself,
better
mister.
Better not do that.
Yeah, so Lee will be on Sky Sports News on Saturday morning at 10:40, and I think we'll be doing some editorial stuff for Sky as well this week, so that'll be exciting.
All right, so a very busy week. So listen, good luck to anybody that's got Salah captain for tomorrow. If you've got Trent, Diaz...
Have you captained Salah?
Robbo, I have captained Salah, okay. So I've still got my captain still to go tomorrow night. Goodness knows what's going to happen in that game, either before, during or after. I've got a feeling...
It's all going to be fine. Well, I don't know what all the fuss is about.
Let's see, Sam.
Have a game.
Before we go, guys, there is over 1,000 of you in. There's 1,015 in. So thank you very much for joining us tonight. If you would love to, we'd love for you to leave us a like before you go. Really helps us with all those algorithmic stuff that we mentioned before that we're no good at. But your likes really help us with that. And if you're new to FPL Family and you're not a subscriber around here, then we'd love you to hit that subscribe button as well and hit the little notification bell so that you know whenever a new YouTube Shorts video is uploaded to the channel. Until this time, guys, next Sunday at 8:30 p.m. when we will be looking back at game week 4 and everything, how that has gone, we will see you very, very soon. Have a good week and green arrows. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys. Green arrows.